got it on air.
Blog Talk Radio.
Broken down and tired of living life on the merry-go-round. And you can't find a hider by sitting in you, so we can walk it out. Ooh, Monday. We can walk it out. Ooh, all day. And my eyes are all I got to say.
Thanks to Andre Day and our Lord and Savior, we get to rise up one more time. So I'm proud to say good afternoon, good evening, and hello and happy birthday to Dr. Clark. It's just great to have you on here one more time.
And it's good to be with you all one more time. And thank you for the birthday wishes. And glad to be back this evening so that we can continue the conversation around grief and loss. So let's take a couple deep breaths. Take a breath in. Hold it 3 counts. Let it out for 3. And let's prepare ourselves for talking about some self-care as it relates to grief and loss. We know that self-care is just important in our everyday lives as we strive to get some balance in our day-to-day being and how we navigate ourselves through life. And it's all really challenging when we look at this work-life balance. But then when we add that component to when we have to try to maintain our self-care in the midst of grief and loss, that carries a different kind of weight to it. It carries a different tone to it. It carries a different type of heaviness to it. And we begin to ask ourselves questions. How do I care for myself when I'm up under such a heavy burden and it feels like I'm carrying the weight of the world on my shoulders? And so tonight I'm hoping that I can give some information that will be helpful to us as we talk about self-care in the midst of grief and loss, because that part still needs to happen regardless of the pain that we're feeling, because we still need to be able to maintain ourselves and our health and our mind and our emotional stability and our capacity to take on everything that's coming at us at such an alarming rate. And so hopefully I can give you some things that will encourage you along the way to let you know that you still matter in this time. Dr. Brown?
Well, it sounds like a very good subject. I'm looking forward to listening to this. I did have, if you can include this in your sharing and exchange today, one of our emails that came in asked the question of, I don't remember how I used to feel before the loss of a loved one. Can you tell me what's the opposite of grief and numbness?
Wow. The opposite of grief and numbness, you would think that it would have been joy and happiness and pleasure and balance and being motivated and being encouraged. However, it depends on where you were at the time that that grief and loss took place. And for that, you are really the only one that can determine where you were before this event happened. You know the feelings that you had before. You know the goals that you had in mind before. You know the steps that you were in the process of taking before this. You know where you were in life I do for that. Only you know that. So the opposite of that would be, because the numbness, which is the name of the book, when numb is not enough, the numbness is a result of all the heaviness and the emotions piling up on each other, and you can no longer contain the space to be able to process them all. And so only you know where you are in that process, right? So I can't tell you where you were before that. That's a question that you really have to sit. That's one of those moments where you have to sit with yourself and say, where was I before that? It's what we call in behavioral modification, we call it the ABCs of behavior. The antecedent is the thing that happened before the behavior. And then B is that actual behavior. So that would be the feelings that you have as a result of this loss that you felt. And then C is the consequence. So now that I've had this loss occur, what am I feeling as a result of that? But there's always something, and sometimes it's on the subconscious level, which is why I'm asking you to really sit with that thing. Where was I at in life before this event took place? And that's going to help you get to your answer about what
the
opposite is.
Well, that's a heavy one. Unfortunately, that was the only caller that has come in. However, or email that has come in. But for those of you who would like to ask Dr. Clark a question, please call in at 319-527-6090. And remember that our shows are being brought to you by Flashback Academy, where we assist veterans and our former foster care youth of getting off of the street, learning marketable trades and skills to be able to compete in today's society for jobs. Yes, there's been a lot of jobs created while there has been some lost, just that they become much more technical. But find out more about it by writing us at flashbksloc@gmail.com. And do know that even a dollar does go a long way, so go to your Cash App now, $Flashback Academy, and help contribute to not only keep our show on the air, but also to be able to assist us in developing the right type of proven programs that work for our special needs population, is what I'm calling them. Yes, our veterans who are out there risking their lives and limb for our freedoms that we sometimes take for granted, and our children who were raised, unfortunately, or been in the system and have been victimized by a lot of different people, and they deserve a break, because unfortunately when they age out, most of the time they're really not ready. So let's step up, folks, and let's continue to enjoy the show.
Thank you so much for that, for Dr. Brown. So I wanted to look at how do we care for ourselves. A lot of time we carry guilt and feel like it's not okay for us to care for ourselves in such a time, right? How can I care about myself when this traumatic experience has just happened and I have all these people around me that may need me to kind of step up to the plate and be there for them? But the reality of it is, if I don't care for myself, I cannot be for everyone else what they are expecting me to be. And so unshakable self-care is not being selfish. So in this self-care, it's not about just going to the spa, getting our nails done, or guys may be running off to the gym, but it's about creating a steady framework for self-care. So it's about carving out time and the space for yourself to actually feel the feelings that are coming at you so fast and furious so that you won't end up getting swept up into a stream of endless sadness. So it's making sure that you're still eating well in this process, that you're sleeping properly in this process, and that you're getting the extra rest that you're going to need, because your body at this point, your mind and your body, remember they work together. And the body will take on, but the mind can no longer contain. And so the mind is trying to process all these feelings that are going on. And if you don't give the mind an outlet to deal with these things, it'll start to manifest itself, remember, in the body. And so we may not be at the point to where we are in tune to what our body really needs at that point in time. But if we start to create this routine and start to create this practice, and with some support of those that we love, we will start to recognize the signs and symptoms that our body is starting to give us. And so when it comes to trauma, loss, and grief, we are better able to process these things when we can nurture our body and offer the extra care that we need, right? And so how do we do that? It may be through exercise. It may be through journaling. It may be through just getting out and getting a little bit of, you know, extra sunshine that we have not been able to, you know, expose ourselves to, right? And so that might be one way that we do it. And then finding safe ways to let our loved ones in. So the people who have earned the right to be in the know, right? The people who have earned the right to be in our space. Because during the time of grief and loss, that space that we create for ourselves becomes a very sacred space, and everyone cannot be in that space. And so we have to be selective as to who we allow to come into that space to be our support system, right? Because we want to be able to feel supported when we share and not shamed or to feel embarrassed by those who we let in, right? So we have to be very conscious, and we have to be wise in the words that we use and who we use these words with. And so creating that sense of safety is going to be very important to how we care for ourselves in this moment. And it may not be our mother. It may not be our sister. It may not be our pastor. It may not be our homegirl. So who we let into this space at this time is going to be very critical for them, right? And so we need to let them know that I am not myself right now. And that if I seem a little distant, it's not anything to do with them. And that we are at that point to where we're trying to be vulnerable and we're trying to be honest and real about the situations with ourselves. And those people who you allow into that space need to be only sensitive and respectful to you and your process when you are clear with them. And so it's important that when we're communicating, that we are clear in our intentions and what we need from them at that point, right? And so then another step, thing that we can do, is embrace our inner introvert, but don't get too comfy in our isolation. Remember I said that grief is a very personal experience. And so some of our feelings and sensations, we don't have words for. And sometimes they can't even be understood by those who we love and who are the closest to us. So we want to make sure that as we're tuning inward
and that we're offering the necessary softness and warmth to our own souls and hearts. And so when we're able to do this, we will learn over time what we need to share and who we need to share these things with, and when it's time to share these things, in a sense to where our own internal ability to process these things are made easy and available to us. So in other words, we want to make sure to spend time around others, even if we're not feeling happy or we're not chirpy and we're not interacting the way that we usually are, and even if we're not really in the mood of socializing, it's important that we surround ourselves in the midst of others so that we don't get comfortable in that space of being isolated. So if we're not comfortable being around our family and our friends, it might mean that we go to the gym, or we may go to the library, or we may go somewhere where other people are there. It might mean that we go to the park and that we observe. We might find ourselves going to Target or somewhere, or maybe even Starbucks, and start to engage ourselves and interact socially with other people so that we don't fall back into that isolation pattern that can lead to falling back into that stage of depression, right? Because we know that if we stay in that stage of depression too long, then the tendency for us to continue to dwell on the hopelessness and the sadness will be more likely than not, and we want to be careful that we don't fall into that clinical depression. So we're going to need to seek some, you know, some professional assistance with that. So we want to put ourselves in a situation where we can open up ourselves to allow others to be able to comfort us, and for them to be able to sit with us as we cry, you know, as we talk about, you know, our pain, as we bear witness to the pain that we're feeling, right? So there's a healing component in that, even if we have become self-sufficient in our grief. So what do I mean by that? Even if we find that we have been our best supporter of ourselves in that grief process, we still need to, sometimes it has to happen in a forcible way, because sometimes we just don't want to be bothered, but we need to allow ourselves that opportunity. Just like the Bible says, His grace is sufficient for us. Sometimes we like to feel like we can be our own source of sufficiency, but we really can't. But that's the story and that's the narrative that we create for ourselves in our mind. So it's about opening ourselves up and allowing others to kind of come in and help fill some of that space. Dr. Brown, any feedback so far?
Absolutely. Well, you're doing fantastic. Can you hear me well?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay. You mentioned professional help just briefly. When does someone know that they need professional help? That's the first part of the question. And the second part of the question, because I know of no professional that is as qualified or more qualified than you, how can our listeners get in contact with you? And the third part of this question is, what can they anticipate happening once they give you a call? We know that it's a struggle to pick up that phone when you're in grief, and you're scared because you don't know what's going to happen. You may have to reveal something about yourself you don't want to face. Can you just kind of give them an idea of what would happen when they finally pick up that phone and call you, and where do they call at?
So let me understand this right. They want to know at what point do they need professional help?
Yes.
And then where can they go to get that help?
Absolutely.
Okay. So at the point that you know you need professional help is when you feel that you have been using the strategies, you have been talking to people, you have been doing the things that you know to do that people have said will be helpful for you, and you don't feel any better about the situation. So you feel like no matter what you do, you're still stuck, and you're not able to find yourself in the position to where you can move on from this. That's when we need, that's when our eyebrows should raise and we should consider, maybe I need to talk to a professional versus talking to my family, talking to my friends, talking to my pastor. Because remember, our pastors can only carry us so far along the way. They're going to give us they're going to give us their spiritual aspect. They're going to give us the biblical point of view. Our family is going to give us the practical day-to-day stuff, but sometimes we need just a little more. And what I have found out is that in any situation, there's not just a one method to anything that is a magic pill. So it takes a combination of things. And oftentimes we feel like been lost that professional help is not okay, because these are things we should be able to manage on our own. But it's just like everything goes. It's just like anxiety. It's just like depression. It's just like when our kids go and get diagnosed with ADHD. Sometimes we need more than just one thing, and it's getting ourselves to the point to where we're okay with that. So at the point of where you continue to feel stuck and you feel like the needle is not moving, seek professional help. Where can you go? Again, you can seek your pastor or spiritual leader if you have one. You can call a therapist that is specializes in grief and loss. You can contact me. I am more than willing to have a conversation with you about where it is that you're feeling stuck. You can get in contact with me at 818-646-6608, or you are more than welcome to visit my website, www.rotm.la. Fill out the request, and I will get the message, and I will definitely give you a call back. And you can also call the grief and counseling. There's hotlines for that. You can, do a Google search, but I'm more than willing to have a conversation with you about where you feel that you're stuck in this grieving process. Because one thing that you'll find out is that when you're stuck in this grieving process, it's going to bring you back to one of those areas, one of those eight dimensions of wellness that I talk about, that I coach people through. And we see where we make the connection and what area you are stuck in that's causing a hang-up for you, causing a setback in you being able to successfully get through the grief and loss process. So I know that was a lot, but hopefully you were able to pull something out of that.
Absolutely. Well, I know I asked a pretty loaded question. We got to be known for doing something, but you've never shied away from that. And I think this is a great time that people do know that that's what you do. And while you perform the task extremely well, there are many folks who can benefit from it. So I appreciate you sharing that. And as we get ready to wrap this up, folks, if you're going through something, one, you're not alone. And two, there is help in many of the ways that Dr. Clark has reminded you, but sometimes our best friend, and now this is going to sound deep because your mama says she knows you better than anybody else, but sometimes mom can't wear all the hats, and you need to reveal or talk about some things that you just don't want her to have to go through with you at that time. It can happen, okay? So just hang in there, folks. And let's enjoy our early part of getting away, because this is for Dr. Clark. Better than your celebration. need to know how much you are being appreciated each and every day for being who you are. And when you get a chance, and if you run into your mother, just give her a high five. She don't have to know what it's for, but that's going to be for all of us. If you have some closing remarks, go ahead and do share, but we're ready to wrap this one up and let you enjoy your family.
Absolutely. Our quote today coming from Dr. Alan Wolfit: I sometimes feel overwhelmed by the fear of an uncertain future. Will I ever love and be loved like that again? Whom can I turn to? Who will help me find my way back from this place? And then I remember, my God is here for me, patiently waiting, ready to comfort and support me. Thank you, God, for loving me. Until next time, give yourself room to grieve. I'll talk to you soon. Good night, everyone.
Thank you.